gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. StephanieMiller.com. The website, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Big, big day on the Stephanie Miller Show. Eric Bollert, who we love, from
yes.
Media Matters on his brand new book, Bloggers on the Bus, How the Internet Changed Politics and the Press.
It really did, the Internet.
And humana. In less than half hour. I'm actually nervous.
It's so cute that you're nervous
about. I'm flustered. I get to fulfill my life dream in less than a half an hour by saying, Los Angeles, hello, Larry King, go ahead.
Hopefully.
Yes.
Addis Ababa, hello.
Larry King on the Celebrity Hotline in less than half an hour.
Hopefully.
Jimmy had the best Twitter ever yesterday. What was it, Chris?
Whatever happened to galoshes?
I may do the whole interview on that.
So perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, twitter.com/kingsthings if you want more gems like that.
Oh, loves me some Lair. All right. How do you interview the best interviewer in the world? I'm a little, you know, I'm barely sober at this hour. All right. He has a new book out, My Remarkable Journey. Hello.
And you talked to a celebrity yesterday.
Who?
You just told me before the show.
Who?
Kennedy.
Wow. Oh, that's right. I talked to Robert Kennedy Jr. yesterday.
Yes.
That
oh.
was very exciting.
Cool.
He wants to meet me. I'm going to a thing to see him this week here in L.A.
That's very, very cool.
It was very exciting. I always think I'm being prank called. I'm like, oh, it is not a Kennedy. Oh, okay. All right. Lots of big news going on, including the boner. Jim, pay attention. Here's the important thing. Not that the Bush administration lied to Congress to get us into an unnecessary and illegal war that killed thousands of Americans and Iraqis. No.
Lying to the Congress of the United States is a crime. And if the speaker is accusing the CIA and other intelligence officials of lying or misleading the Congress,
yes.
then she should come forward with evidence.
And
yeah,
she will.
I was just going to say I would stay tuned there because there's some... some developing news, as Tom Brokaw would say on that. That's very interesting. The president, his first meeting with the Israeli prime minister yesterday, Netanyahu, talking mm-hmm. about Iran.
The important thing is to make sure that there is a clear timetable of at which point we say these talks don't seem to be making any serious progress.
All right, another giant mess
yeah,
that the Bush administration has left for Barack Obama.
Although Netanyahu and Obama can't come to terms on whether it should be a two-state solution.
Yeah, they can't come to terms on anything.
Yeah.
This is my point, another giant mess that George Bush has left. May I tell you why? We'll get into this later. But may I tell you why? Because, first of all, we've said this over and over again. They're the ones that rushed the elections and got Hamas elected. So this is the farthest apart I think we've ever been in, you know, Israeli-Palestinian...
Yeah, but Netanyahu is a far-right nutcase.
Exactly. We're the farthest apart we've been on settlements, on... recognizing a two-state solution.
And I still
kind
of resent him saying that 9/11 was very good for Israel. He backtracks. Says, it was a terrible tragedy, blah, blah, blah. But, thanks. Wasn't so great for us, pal.
Yeah.
All right. But obviously the biggest news of the day, it's Jim Ward's 50th birthday.
Birthday.
50 years ago today.
Right. As someone said on the live blog, AAR apocryphal but true.
Jim Ward's new website.
Hey, get off my lawn!
Shano in Pittsburgh with a tribute to our deity.
Hey now. Well, happy birthday to me, oh my. Mr. McFeelpants, you say it's your birthday. Your constant mockery and insolence does not please me. So you can go your birthday.
Happy birthday, Mr.
Squeezy.
Well, how do you do?
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Jim Ward. Gosh, doesn't it make you wish we were back in the old studio with the Spank-O-Matic 2000 so that I could give you a proper happy birthday?
Actually, Janice sang that to me last night.
Did she?
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
That's the first time we've ever identified her by her correct name.
I believe so.
Oh, you've never... Well, we call her Janiqua or...
Your Janush. Girlfriend, Juniper?
Janush.
What followed the birthday rendition?
None of your damn business.
Mm. Oh, hello.
Bow. Well, it just became everyone's business, didn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Okay.
Cake.
Let's
but you were only 49 yesterday.
That's true.
Yeah,
who
now
ate,
you're 50.
Who ate cake from where?
Oh, oh.
Dude. Right,
let's check some news we don't want to lose. Here we go.
Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it stays broken. Our top story, did you...
Oh, my God.
Taking a gander at MikeHuckabee.com recently.
Oh, my God.
He's a... That's a special sort of crazy, isn't it? He wrote a poem.
A poem?
About it's Nancy Pelosi. It's
not much
maybe,
of a poem.
It's many stanzas.
Kind of a low coup. It's not
yes.
really. Yeah, not
it's
highbrow enough to be a haiku.
Is he trying to do Beverly Hillbillies? It starts, here's a story about a lady named Nancy, a ruthless politician, but dressed very fancy.
Huh?
Oh, see, he rhymed there. Very ambitious, she got herself elected speaker, but as for keeping secrets, she proved quite a leaker.
Oh, God.
She flies on government planes coast to coast and doesn't mind that our economy is toast.
He's not even trying to keep a rhythm here.
No, and then it goes on and on.
Oh,
and on.
For
seven
the love
stanza.
Of God.
I say it here, and he ends with I say it here. I say it rather clear. It's time for Nancy Pelosi to resign and get out of here. Oh, that's a little Susie in there. That is, wow.
Well, let's see the all the documents.
There is no kind of pentameter there.
I believe Nancy wrote him a poem back.
A Republican has-been named Huck wrote of me, "Hey, Nancy, you suck." He was not only blamey, he channeled Dick Cheney and said that myself I should, you know.
Oh!
But like all these Republican hacks, it's brains and refinement he lacks. May I make referral to the fact he ate squirrel and grew up in tar paper shacks? Let him bitch about CIA leaks, I care not a fig for his squeaks. The CIA lied, now his party is fried and looks like a barrel of freaks. And with that, I will end my back sass. Why argue with such who lack class? He can cry about this or that barrel of piss. In the end, he can kiss my lib ass.
I like that one better. Not many 50-year-old voice guys do Nancy Pelosi. You know
no,
what I'm saying?
That is true.
Yeah.
They want to, but...
Didn't some caller yesterday say she has a nice rack?
Well,
I don't understand why that's appropriate.
She's a grandmother.
For God's
sake. She's
sakes.
A hot granny.
All right. And finally.
Who?
I don't know. I don't know that term.
Finally,
hot granny.
News.
Ah, she's very attractive.
Out of Beijing.
Maybe for people who are 50.
People who just got their AARP cards.
Yeah, exactly.
You know that John Lennon never made 50? That's so weird.
Wow, you outlived John Lennon.
Yeah.
News out of Beijing, finally, this investment turned out to be as risky as it was risque. A sex theme park that featured explicit exhibits of genitalia and sexual culture is being demolished before it can even open, said a government spokesman in China. The park, christened Loveland by its owners, went under the wrecking ball, I said ball,
yeah.
over the weekend. Exhibits had included a giant-sized reproductions of male and female anatomy.
Why does
Sounds
someone
like
need...
the studio we used to work in.
Yeah, well...
and sex technique workshops.
Oh,
we have
workshops.
The,
wow.
I think, believe the government spokesman?
No, this is the guy who's trying to put the park together.
Yeah,
here.
That guy.
Oh, it just goes to show how the government is stuck in the old ways of repression and control. If they were so into capitalism, why do they destroy private property? Or in this case, private property. They get in the way of fruitful intercourse and putting a big obstacle in the way of naked truth about Chinese society. It's a betrayer of the old socialist ideas as well. For once, the proletariat had possession of the means of reproduction. Get it? And they want to destroy it. My theme park was in the spirit of the barefoot doctors that used to go into the countryside during the Cultural Revolution. We just took the bear part a little further. And we're going into the countryside, back, front, top, or bottom, whatever.
Hey.
Like Chairman Mao said, the unification of our country, the unification, the unity of our people, and the unity of our various nationalities. These are the basic guarantees of the sure triumph of our cause. So how much more unified can you get when you make the lobster Cantonese with two backs? When the people find out that my educational pleasure park was closed down, this gonna backfire on the authorities. As Confucius once said, government who lose key to people's hearts get no new key. You're gonna be some hard up hard asses. Chai-chan.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, 50-year-old falderall.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, or AARP But True.
AARPocryphal But True.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tyler at StephanieMiller.com.
Oh, were you having a brain fart there?
Yeah.
A senior moment?
A senior moment,
yeah.
Ooh, between my Chardonnay and his age.
Where's the onion on my belt? I can't remember when.
Hey. Chris in Chicago for the birthday boy. Hello, Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy birthday, and it's all downhill from here. That's all I can tell you. Things stop working. Things stop hurting. What were they talking about?
All right, Chris. Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on our friends on the Fox News. Hi, Tim.
Good morning. You know, want to wish happy birthday to Jim.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm watching the Foxes this morning, which gives me a migraine anyway, but then they had Jesse Ventura on.
Mm-hmm.
He said waterboarding was torture. He had to be waterboarded for SEAL training. He said, if you've ever been waterboarded, you know what it's like. It is torture. It makes you think of all new things, and said that he's fine now, but still, he remembers it very vividly. And I don't remember his name. He's the one with the broomstick so far up at his anus that he can't move correctly anymore. The little blonde or bald one, dark hair. I don't remember his name anyway.
I'm certain who we're talking about.
It's pretty much a talking broomstick. He was just repeatedly saying how, you know, waterboarding can't be torture. If it was torture, then why don't we just torture all our prisoners and our jail system or gang members and stuff like that?
Are you referring to Brian Kilmeade?
Yes, that's it.
He's not bald.
I don't know.
Well, not bald, black hair. I don't know.
Okay.
He's one of the Fox and Freaks.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Tim,
he's Brian of Brian and the Judge.
Oh,
yes.
Sure. Yeah. Well, Tim, we have Larry King coming up in just a few minutes. And did you see Jesse Ventura on Larry King? Because it was great. He said, you know, that was the best line. He said, give me Dick Cheney in 1 hour and a waterboard, and I'll have him confess to the Sharon Tate murders.
Yeah.
I did see that. And you know what? That's one of the other reasons why I'm listening today, just for Larry King.
Thank you, as you should. Hello. God. Please call and
Would
say
that
hello.
That'd be great. Jesse Ventura waterboarded Cheney. That would just be...
See, that would be even bigger than this. They could do a double with the Sean Hannity.
Yes.
Think of how much money they could raise for the troops that they love so much by sending them into unnecessary war.
He was getting close to waterboarding Sean Hannity last night, because he was on Hannity last night.
Who? Ventura?
Ventura was, yes. And, yeah, they went at it.
I don't think that would be a fair fight.
That would be great. Let Jesse Ventura waterboard, I bet you keep Olbermann up the money he's going to pay.
Hey, Bill, you want a piece of me? Come on. Come on, mister. Ow.
Yeah, Ventura is a wall of muscle, and Hannity is a wall of goo. Yeah.
I think Hannity may be waterboarded eventually anyway, since he doesn't believe in global warming. He'll be underwater doing his talking points at some point. Okay, nobody throw him a life preserver. 20 minutes after the hour, you just won't believe what Republicans are saying about Nancy Pelosi.
Oh,
and I will tell you the explosive development, in my opinion, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
May cause dizziness, sexual nightmares, and sleep crime.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I get my kids above the waistline, sunshine.
It is the... Why? Because no one's offering to give me kicks below the waistline. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. John in Grand Rapids, Michigan, with another edition of What the Fox? Hi, John.
Hi, got my AA RP kit 3 weeks ago.
Oh.
Yes, it's, you know, rite of passage. Anywho, watching, going through like a waiting room where they play that channel, Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just listening to this blurb, and the guy says, yeah, Nancy Pelosi, da-da-da, and it's a downturn in the stock market because of her. Well, maybe we can't blame it on her. And I looked up at the TV, and he kept talking about something else, but I think they were showing, like, the negative stock market signs next to an unflattering picture of her.
Well, of course. What?
God.
What the fuck?
I'm so glad she's driving the stock market.
Yeah.
And if that's what they're using to do their trading, hey, let's give them some more bailout money. I'll listen as I go.
All right.
There.
Thank you, honey.
Propaganda for morons.
Yep.
My God.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Meanwhile, here's what I thought is the breaking news, the interesting development. You know, Jim, you mentioned this. I don't know what the truth is, but it seems interesting to people that are happy to have everything come out, as opposed to the people that aren't. Right away, that makes me a little suspicious. Pelosi has called on the CIA to release documents showing what she was told by the agency, even suggesting she'd be open to an examination of her own claim as part of the so-called Truth Commission. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says he does not want the conflict to go that far.
Interesting.
You guys thought would involve the, the ordering of the Code Red and the whatever, the war crimes on the Bush administration and all that stuff.
Classified information, for example, the fact that I'm a big fat liar.
Exactly.
You ordered the Code Red.
I did the job. Did you order the Code Red?
Damn right I did!
As Politico reported Friday, Democratic insiders say that before Pelosi claimed Thursday that the CIA had misled her, her office dispatched an aide to CIA headquarters to independently verify what she was told during the 2002 briefing based upon notes from the meeting. Quote unquote, said the ally, Pelosi would not say what she did without checking it first. And so, as we know,
what?
She did not back away from her claim that she was not told in 2002 that they had waterboarded
Abu Zubaydah.
Exactly.
Good
you
Lord
know
and
my
Abba
point.
Abba Zabba Dabba Doo.
Interesting. I just find this all interesting, as does our friend Hillary
Rosen.
So she
wanted to check the facts before she talked about it.
Before she actually talked about it.
Interesting.
You know, the CIA has, lied to President Bush about the existence of weapons of mass destruction. I mean, the CIA uses whatever they can to justify the position. Now, Leon Panetta, I think, is getting the CIA and the intelligence units under control, but when other people who were briefed in those times said that there was ambiguous information, so this whole thing about Speaker Pelosi is just really a distraction for Republicans now.
Yeah, and let's say they're doing a good job at it. However, this may blow up in their face.
How long do they want to push this?
If
it looks like she's going to be vindicated?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Keep going to try to
how is Fox News going to cover this? If she, if she's proved to be right, how do they ignore Senator Bob Graham, who's backing up her story?
Clearly the facts have a liberal bias. I hate facts.
Mm-hmm. No, but you're right. The more they keep this in the news, good. The more torture is in the news. The more, what the Bush administration ordered is in the news. All right. 28 minutes after the hour. Hamana. Almost time to say, Los Angeles, hello.
Hello.
Larry King, you have a question for me. Larry King, the man, the myth, the legend, is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Why would I lie about my age? I'm in the entertainment industry.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. Woo! As all that listen every day, thank God I barely show up sober here every morning. Thank God I don't have to do anything really important, Chris, like interview the best interviewer in the world. That would be, that would be nerve-wracking. Why, who is it, Chris?
It's the author of My Incredible Journey, Larry King.
Oh, no. Good morning, Larry King.
Well, first, Chris immediately makes an error.
It's
my remarkable journey. I was looking for my paper. I'm so sorry.
It's not incredible. It's remarkable.
Remarkable
and
journey.
Stephanie, I knew that this morning for me you'd be sober.
Thank you, Larry. I finally
called George Slaughter and told him she's going to be sober this morning.
I finally have you on my turf, Larry.
By the way, Stephanie, when I list my among my favorite guests, you're on the list.
Oh, Larry King, I couldn't be more flustered this morning.
Every time I see that you're on, I'm happy because you're vivacious, you're lovely, you're funny, and it doesn't matter your opinion. That's one of the things I write about in my remarkable journey.
I'm so sorry, Larry.
It's okay. I'll never talk
Thanks
to you
Thanks a lot,
again.
Chris.
Chris, say goodbye.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Larry.
You're fired.
One thing I talk about is what you want in a guest is what you have. Patience, the ability to explain what you do very well, passion, and a sense of humor. You have all those things, Stephanie. You're a great guest.
I'm flustered like a schoolgirl, Larry. How do you interview the best interviewer in the world? What would you do if you were me right now?
You ask what you know what you do. You forget all that, and you ask whatever comes to your mind.
All right.
In other words, what about me are you curious about?
See, now I've told this story on the air before. You get me to be a good guest on your show. You sing show tunes to me in hair and makeup. So that's how
you... Correct. I do. I like to sing. Mm-hmm. There are three... If I weren't doing this... I would like to be a stand-up comic, which I'm going to do in Las Vegas, by the way, in June.
Are you really?
At the Encore. Steve Wynn has seen me work at conventions, and I'm going to do two nights.
I'm coming.
My wife, Shawn, is going to open. She sings, great singer, and then I'm going to follow and do an hour of stand-up.
I'm so there.
In Danny Gann's room.
Because you started at, I read that in your book, you started at Sam Maltz's Candy Store doing
Sam
stand-up.
Sam Maltz's Candy Store. I did stand-up there. Sam Maltz. We drove him crazy. Drove him to drink, and I think we killed him. I'll tell you a quick story what we did to Sam Maltz.
Were you either pelted with Werther's if you had
there was a big song at the time, Wild Goose, Frankie Lane. Uh-huh. And Sam Maltz used to complain we didn't spend money in his candy store. We sat in the booth, we didn't spend money. The jukebox was a nickel. We all came in with nickels and played Wild Goose all day. And here's how it went. My hot nose, where the wild goose knows. I must go where the wild goose goes. Wild goose, brother goose, which is best? I must go where the wild... And Sam Maltz started throwing malted machines. And finally, he pulled the jukebox out of the... He pulled the plug out, slammed it to the floor, and threw us out. Go with your wild goose. Go.
Wow. Do you have some stories? Now, you know, here's the thing. I told this on the air once, too, is a listener called and said, I had to miss you on Larry King last night. I was watching baseball. And I said, so was Larry King. Because
that's true. I've watched baseball while you're on the air.
You do?
While I'm talking to you because it's on the monitor.
And you're such a natural at this. They'll be like, Larry, the King Abdullah's coming up. You're like, how are the Dodgers doing? Like, you're just...
Well, that's my passion. That's my avocation. The best way to explain it is what George Will told me once, the great writer George Will. Conservative, but great, Stephanie.
I understand.
Okay. He said, I'll tell you how big a baseball fan I am. If the headline in the Washington Post said, George Will's secret sex life revealed, he said, I would first turn to the Cub box score.
Because, now, you have a famous story recently. I've met you've had your son, your little sons on the set before, but you got thrown out of a Little League game for fighting with an umpire.
Chance, yeah, well, it was embarrassing. But no, not really. I was right. Anyway.
That's the important thing.
There was a forced play at second that was going to end the game. My son's team was winning by 2 runs. And the umpire said nothing. Didn't say safe, didn't say out. I said, call something. He said, I didn't see it. So if I didn't see it, we go back to where we were. We do it over. Do over? Do over? This game counts. Do over. I said, you are nuts. And he said, you are gone. Go back to CNN. I got banned for 2 games.
Wow.
This is how tough they are. Beverly Hills Little League. Couldn't go to the game. I had to sit in a car outside the fence and have a friend give me the score to the 10-year-olds. I lose it. I can't help it. When I watch my kids play ball, it just kills me.
That, you know, you got to give that umpire. That takes some nads to throw Larry King out of a baseball game. I got to tell him.
I've gotten to like him. I've gotten pretty friendly with him, and you know, I understand. He's still not the greatest umpire, but he's a nice guy.
He still sucks, Larry. One of my favorite stories in your book, My Remarkable Journey, is the book. You took your kids trick or treating, and they dressed in Larry King masks and suspenders.
They did. What happened was there was a store in New York that made one year Larry King masks, and it looked like me. And you bought glasses with it, and so they wore suspenders. And going with them was Sharon Stone's little boy, whose birthday is the same age as my 8-year-old, who'll be 9 Friday.
Right.
And so they all went up, rang the bells. Larry King and I were standing outside. People looked at them and took up a damn and thought they were crazy.
That's like, that's like a Fellini film.
You want a quick Beverly? This is only in Beverly Hills,
yes.
Right?
Yes, all right.
My son will be 9 on Friday. Mm-hmm. For he and his friends, they're taking a stretch limo to Dodger Stadium.
Oh.
Just the way we grew up in Brooklyn. me and Herbie and Sid and Asher, we'd get in the limo every week and go see the Dodgers.
Your kid's not having quite the hard scrabble life that you did.
You know what I got to do, Stephanie?
Yeah.
When I come back, maybe next week, I'm going to get up in the morning. I always get up early anyway, take the kids to school. I'm going to come down and sit with you and Chris. How about I come over and do an hour with you?
Oh, boy.
That would be awesome.
Again, we don't have enough to mention the book.
Listen, for me.
Well, maybe.
We will mention the book correctly.
That's
all
like
right,
a,
I'm going to come next week.
Oh, that's like an audience with the Pope for me. Now,
trust me, I'm not the Pope.
I'm flustered again. Now, you started, I love your, you started your radio show in Miami in a, out of a deli?
Well, no, I started interviewing out of Pumpernick's, it was a restaurant deli, and the first guest, in fact, there's a picture in the book of me and Bobby Darin. I never knew that picture existed, but he was the first famous person that walked in. He was no one booked him, he came in, and I put him on. I liked interviewing that way, you know, I didn't plan it, and I got to really like him very much, and that it all started at Pumpernick's.
Wow. Now, let me just warn you before you come down here, the food is not quite as good.
As anyway, I got to run, Stephanie. You know, I got guiding light right behind me. But I am making you a promise. I will call you when I get back. I'll be back Saturday. I'll call you Monday. I'm coming over next week, and I'm going to take over.
Yikes.
Oh,
yikes.
Wow.
Just one bit of advice.
Yes.
Chris, stay home.
Okay, I will, Larry. I will.
Okay, Chris. My unusual journey.
My
remarkable life.
Yeah. No,
okay.
Do you have time for one more question, or you have to go?
Quick, Stephanie.
All right. I understand that Miss California stiffed you. She didn't show up on your show.
She canceled. I didn't know the reason. They didn't give us a reason.
Wow. See, and I just want to tell you, you don't ever. I showed up last time, just so you know. I had swine flu and the Ebola virus. You don't ever not show up for you.
That's right. And you also gave the swine flu to my staff. Thanks
yes,
a lot.
Yes, I apologize. I'm
You'll
sorry.
Never be back.
Hope you're okay. I'll see you next week, Larry. Thank you.
Bye.
Yay! Oh, my God.
Wow, that's great.
Oh. Do you think he's really going to do that?
That was the worst on-air boneheaded move of my life.
Yeah, way to go, Chris.
Yes,
okay.
Thanks. Thanks for mentioning my book, My Embarkable Gurney. Great work.
I'll just be over here.
All right. And I... And I forgot.
Yes, I would like fries with that.
Yeah, can you believe this? Miss California, didn't show up for Larry King. She was apparently celebrating her 22nd birthday in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Huh.
And when she was scheduled to be a guest, and apparently she was partying too hard.
She got too drunk.
Yeah. Hmm. I love this. Asked if he thought the beauty queen's co-hosting on Fox and Friends later this month was a factor in canceling her slot, King replied, "I don't care." Love him. Love him.
They probably told her, "No, don't go there. It's in New York."
Actually, my favorite line in this story, which shows what's happened with America today, last week, Deal or No Deal briefcase model Sarah Brunson spoke out against Prisian's stance on same-sex marriage. What?
What?
Who cares about Deal or No Deal briefcase model's views on gay marriage? There's a briefcase model on Deal or No Deal that has some other thoughts on gay marriage or
whatever.
Something.
Contestant on The Price is Right from 40 years ago has an opinion on something.
The woman whose boobs flopped out of her tube top. Yeah, she had something to say about it.
All right. Oh, the briefcase model from Deal or No. Oh,
no,
well.
There are like 25 or 30 briefcase models, so she's
Which one?
Exactly.
All right. 42.
Wow.
Wow.
42 minutes after the hour.
Each one is making 10 times as much money as we are.
All right. 42 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the Pelosi. Pelosi. It's the torture scandal as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my. How ruthlessly absurd.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's a man, it'll make you work hard, make you sweat hard, make you want hard, for love. She's a man, it'll make you work hard, make you cuss hard,
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. Damn it. I forgot to ask Larry King about when Mikhail Gorbachev showed up for dinner wearing suspenders. Damn it. Next time. All right. Hopefully he'll be in studio like he promised us. Oh, that is threatening. I am nervous already. All right. So the...
You're so nervous around Larry King.
I know. I'm like a schoolgirl when I go there.
He's funny.
He is. All right. And I love there was another story in the book about how he got a call from the King of Jordan while he was at eating dinner at Mr. Chow's in Beverly Hills. That's only Larry King. That happens, too. All right. Also in the book, you got to get this book. He got in a traffic accident with John F. Kennedy.
Wow.
He's
lived a life.
Yes. It's a remarkable journey, in fact. The name of the book. All right. So the torture scandal, which the Republicans, of course, are calling the Nancy Pelosi scandal. Heating up. Representative John Larson, Democrat of Connecticut.
I think, it perhaps wasn't one of her best press conferences, but certainly everybody in this caucus understands and stands behind her moral suititude and her ability to lead in our caucus.
Yeah, they think they're going to shame her into resigning before all the facts come out. No.
Yeah. Exactly. In fact, that's what I was saying, when we started this off. Her saying, let's have the facts come out, makes me feel like she's a little more confident than the Republicans, like Mitch McGinnis, who were saying, no.
We don't want the facts to come out, because the facts clearly have a liberal bias.
We don't want the investigation to go any farther.
The facts would tend to indicate that I have no upper lip, but clearly that's not the case.
Exactly. The boner, this was rich. We played this off the top of the show. Lying to Congress, you see, Jim, about fictional weapons of mass destruction to get us into an unnecessary war that killed up thousands of Americans and Iraqis. That, I guess, not so bad. But
lying to the Congress of the United States is a crime. And if the speaker is accusing the CIA and other intelligence officials of lying or misleading the Congress, then she should come forward with evidence.
Look, it's already been shown. They indicated that Graham had been in these earrings when he clearly wasn't.
Yeah.
He keeps very meticulous notes on everything he does.
Yep.
Rachel Maddow was following him around. It was absurd.
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost a fetish for him to write down every single thing he does.
Yes. Normally only like 12-year-old girls keep diaries, but apparently Senator Graham, meticulous. Senator Webb, Jim Webb said, I think this will resolve itself. I don't think it's a big deal. He went on to accuse Republicans of pushing the story in order to avoid the issues of accountability in terms of the last administration. The boner again.
And if that is not the case, then I think she owes our intelligence community an apology.
That should be at the top of her list.
Yeah.
Oh,
God.
Yeah, that's what I...
Changing the subject should be at the top of her list. Look over there. It's at the top of her list. I'll cry again. I will.
That's what I mean. See, this is, the Republicans are just trying to keep this in the news cycle and keep it about Nancy Pelosi. But, I agree with you, Jim. It's like, good. Keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more you keep talking about it,
see everything.
Yeah, exactly. How would you investigate Nancy Pelosi without investigating the Bush administration?
And Cheney.
Thank you. And the it's like what did we play Hillary Rosen yesterday saying Nancy Pelosi is not responsible for the lying of the last 8 years that got us into this unnecessary war. Mitch McGinnis.
The CIA director was pretty specific. Our contemporaneous records from September 2002 indicate that CIA employees briefed truthfully on the interrogation of Abu Zubaydah, describing the enhanced techniques that had been employed. I mean, we know what the CIA believes.
And I also showed that they interviewed Sasquatch and the Loch Ness Monster about the whereabouts of the Lindbergh baby.
You know what? Once again, we've had edition after edition of, that dick. Dick Cheney's been on TV every other day, and we keep saying, why doesn't anyone challenge him? Speaking of lying, this story that keeps breaking, what about the Al Libby thing? Has anyone on these interviews said, Mr. Vice President, it's clear that you were lying Al Libby's claims?
He will only go on shows that give him softball questions.
Right, but the CIA told you that was bogus, that he recanted this because it was under torture, that he talked about a connection between Saddam and Al-Qaeda.
Should be nice to talk to Al Libby about, he's dead.
Oh,
how convenient.
Yeah, he killed himself.
Supposedly.
You expect Neil Cavuto to ask him tough questions like that? Ain't going to happen.
Hmm. Leon Panetta, the CIA director.
Where it becomes so divisive that it begins to interfere with the ability of these intelligence agencies to do our primary job, which is to focus on the threats that face us today and tomorrow.
Except some of the intelligence agencies see as their duty to lie to get us into an unnecessary war.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly.
And other people who are trying to prevent that get
it's, and this
fired.
Is not focused on the work the CIA is doing now. It is what were they ordered to do during the Bush administration. That's what mm-hmm. what this is all about. Bill O'Reilly, our friend. Huh?
We haven't seen many Democrats stick up for Pelosi. We did a search, and very few Democrats. Now, the loons, the far-left loons in the media, you know, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But we were looking for, you know, liberal people sticking up for Pelosi, like, you know, what's his name in Vermont? Leahy.
What's his name?
These Conyers in Michigan. Nothing. Silence. And I don't know if Nancy Pelosi now can survive. I don't think they're going to throw her out of the office, because I think that'd be a tremendous embarrassment for the Democratic Party. But I think her power is a lot less today, Monday, than it was last Monday.
Wow. This really is stunning.
And so, I also think I just pulled that directly out of my ass.
Yeah, far-left loons like Senator Jim Webb.
Yeah. Yeah.
First of all, I think a lot of Democrats are not speaking on this because they don't want to contribute to making her the story.
Right, exactly.
Because she's not the story. She, you know, she doesn't need defending. It's like she has said, release the briefing papers. Mm-hmm. Let's do a truth commission. So at this point, what do you need to say exactly? Unless, you know, believe me, I realize that I'm part of making this a story. But as you know, I'm not that bright. The Republicans make a story, and then, unfortunately, this is what happens. I got to go on TV, and then you're talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like you got to present your side, and yet you're keeping it in the news cycle that it's about... I'm just, you know what? I'm no better than Mary Catherine Hamm, Chris.
Oh, God.
The
pug-faced far-right blogger?
Yes, the O'Reilly girl.
I think the Speaker of the House is always an important person in Washington. I think she has ended up looking like a charlatan. I think that Leon Panetta has ended up looking like a stand-up guy. And Obama, by allowing Leon Panetta to go out there and defend the CIA, has ended up looking good. Cheney and Panetta are on the same side of this argument. If you look at polls, I think you see that even though people are split bipartisan or on partisan levels about whether the CIA is lying to Pelosi, they're not split on whether enhanced interrogation techniques are sometimes justified. They're pretty solid on that. And I think that shows that, unlikely, Cheney is winning a popularity contest against Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah. Dick Cheney is winning a popularity contest?
Compute says none.
By the way, the poll she refers to, 43% say it's somewhat likely Pelosi was lied to about the use of waterboarding. 41% say that the CIA likely did not mislead Pelosi. So it's actually slightly more people that think she probably was lied to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hannity.
The water is creeping up towards the head of the Speaker of the House tonight as it becomes more and more clear that Nancy Pelosi isn't being forthcoming about what she knew and when she knew it. And that is our headline this Monday night, the sinking San Francisco Speaker.
Of course, that's your headline.
Yeah. Torture is good. It was great. It saved lives. And what did she know about it? When did she know it? And why didn't she tell anyone about this great thing that's worked so well? I just lost my own argument.
I think that's why there's that annoying music behind him, so it will prop up his rather weak arguments.
That could be.
Wow. Hannity again.
You see, I think she's now a huge liability. I think just for national security purposes, she's got to go. Because, first of all, she lied and then got caught, and then she accused the CIA of lying, which effectively renders them impotent in doing their job and keeping us safe, which I think really renders her she's not qualified for this position.
Ah, wow. She's our biggest threat to national security.
Yes, Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi is.
The San Francisco liberal.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Wow, wow. See, this is, you know, I like I say, keep on going down this road, because this is a... This is exactly what we want to talk about. We want to talk about the torture and who ordered it. That's and right. Once again, in my mind, she didn't criticize the CIA. She criticized what the CIA was ordered to do by the Bush administration on weapons of mass destruction and on torture. That's the big story. 57 minutes after the hour, the president's first meeting with the Israeli prime minister and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz of the great state of Florida, one of our very personal favorites on the Celebrity Hotline this hour.
Love, huh?
Big doings on Capitol Hill yesterday.
Yeah, there was. They seemed to be passing all kinds of things yesterday.
Doing stuff.
some good, some not so good.
We hate everybody morning. We hate everybody.
Yeah.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. They passed the auto emission standards bill yesterday, the president.
For the first time in history, we have set in motion a national policy aimed at both increasing gas mileage and decreasing greenhouse gas pollution for all new trucks and cars sold in the United States of America.
I got to say, he brought a lot of different disparate groups together to get something done yesterday.
And that takes some doing.
According to everybody except Rush Limbaugh, who are saying, we're going to have to all drive these putt-putt cars now because of this global warming hoax, my friends.
No, he's going to set standards for SUVs and Hummers as well.
Seems
cars
like
that Rush would actually fit in.
Exactly.
Wouldn't you die to see Rush in a smart car?
That would... That's funny!
Just his blubber pressing up against the windows.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought everybody wins in that one. We will get to that. Harry Reid. All right, we'll get to this in a moment. The Democrats, as we reported yesterday on the show, decided to deny the funds to close Gitmo.
Until there's a plan to close Gitmo. Mm-hmm.
Democrats, under no circumstances, will move forward without a comprehensive, responsible plan from the president. We will never allow terrorists to be released into the United States.
You know what? I can kind of get the first part of that because
we'll get into this. We do need
a plan,
but it's not like we're releasing them into the wild.
Thank you.
We have high security prisons.
What is this? Born free? Like Rachel said last night, is there some point in the transfer of prisoners where you let them go free for a while? Did I miss that? Harry Reid said something completely incomprehensible. You got to let them go to put them in jail. What? No, you don't let them go at any point in there.
Look at all the damage Charles Manson has done in the past. Oh, wait.
Yeah, like Jim always says, we have a lot of really bad people in prison now. Okay. Meanwhile, hey, I think this is good news from Sean Hannity on the torture situation.
Remember, she says it's a crime.
Uh-huh.
And yet she signed off on it. That means she signed off on a crime.
That means Dick Cheney and George Bush going to the Hague. Okay,
it's a crime then.
Did he just admit that...
He admitted it's a crime.
Huh. Waterboarding's a crime. That's illegal. That's torture. Okay.
Well, he's
smart.
Thank
you.
Well, he kind of couched it and said, she said it's a crime, so she's complicit in a crime.
Ah,
yeah.
Good. Well, let's see everything then. I think this is all good news. Let's keep talking about this, and let's see all the briefing papers.
Yeah.
Let's get all up in there. Let's get our face all up in there. In the torture debate. Okay. And meanwhile, the GOP rebranding?
Yes.
It's proceeding apace.
Kind of.
I don't know what they got. They got Michael Steele and then they got Meghan McCain.
It can be a party for a 24-year-old pro-sex woman. It can be. I just think that we have people that are in this party that are hijacking it and trying to make it even more extreme.
What did
they're
going to
be a pro-sex party for women.
Oh. I thought you said a perosex.
Perosex.
Scary.
Yeah, that's...
Donde los yikes.
Yikes. Wow. That's their new... I guess that's their new idea. They're going to be a woman
pro-sex
party. You're down with that, aren't you, Squeezy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Meghan McCain is pro-sex, apparently.
Hey.
All right.
And she's rather attractive.
So is Michelle Bachman.
Gack! Okay.
I think she needs to appear nude on the House floor every day.
Michelle Bachman?
Yes, since she does it for her...
Oh, for her radio.
Radio.
Yeah.
Michael Steele says the GOP comeback has begun. I guess I wasn't told.
Yeah.
Why wasn't I told?
He gave a really long speech yesterday,
really
but offered no solutions.
No.
We're the party of new ideas.
We're going to
get new ideas.
We'll get to that. We will get to it.
Yeah. Hello.
We're not looking back.
We're through. We're done. We're not looking back. Mm. We're not thinking about the past.
Taking
that
the president
stuff that happened back there. Not looking at it. See that back
and
there?
And then
we're
did you see what he said in the next sentence? He mentioned Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. Okay, way to look back there, Steele.
We're not going back. Like Ronald Reagan said, don't.
What a dope.
All right, in fact, Julie has sent me a press release from Eric Cantor.
Yes.
He of the largest Adam's apple in the Republican Party, except for Ann Coulter.
We need listening to her. We're going to go and listen to her. It's not a listening to her. That's crazy.
The headline, Newt invited to play in their reindeer games. Dear Miss Miller, for heaven's sakes, the irrepressible minority whip proudly announces that the Newtster will join Mitt and Jeb and Jab and Moe and Larry and Curly and 50 other white guys at the next pizza party.
And
Julie
Bear
in
Brain,
Seattle.
Tennessee.
Ooh, they've announced that Speaker Gingrich joins the National Council for a New America. Which is the same old white guys with
America.
The same old bad ideas.
Why don't they stop forming brand new councils and just do something?
They're all about branding.
Yes, they are.
It's a new product. Look. Now
at least Democrats are doing stuff.
All right.
More stuff in it.
Yeah, not forming a new commission every day.
The Council for a New America, run by the same old white guys.
Yeah.
That ran it into the ground in the first place. All right. That was obviously the big breaking news yesterday. The Democrats won't fund Gitmo for closing right now. Mm-hmm. I'll just say everybody bone this up. I don't think that the White House did anticipate that clearly this was going to be a political hot potato. And obviously, you know, when you got even John McCain is for closing Gitmo, I think.
Sure. But in order to do something that big, need a plan on what to do.
That's my point. They needed to have a plan.
And so I can kind of see why they wouldn't fund it until there was a plan.
Yes. However, in the meantime, Democrats, as they are wont to do sometimes, lack political spine. I just, you know, like Jim said, we have a lot of bad guys in prison now. You know, we're not going to get any other countries to take these prisoners unless we take some of them. What was it? Olderman was reporting last night. There's a prison in Montana. They're like, we'd like to take them.
Yeah.
They need the jobs. Well, they need the money, you know.
Tell you what, if you released all the guys who were in there for selling a dime bag of marijuana.
Yeah.
Along with murderers and rapists.
Yes.
We'd have lots of room for high security.
Look, obviously the threat is, if they get out, they'll kill Americans. Well, there's a lot of people that would kill Americans if they got out of prison. I don't know, but they're like, they'll kill you just because you're American.
They're killing Americans in prison.
And maybe they'll all kill us for the same reason, because they're crazy, the people that are in prison, you know. So that's the thing I don't, I guess I'm losing in this whole thing is, you know, once again, I have sympathy that here's another huge mess that George Bush created that Obama has to clear up legally and otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I understand it. It's like, we don't want terrorists here. It's just,
There is not a single person on Capitol Hill that will allow terrorists from Gitmo to be housed in their districts.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's purely political.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Barack Obama's allies in the Senate will not provide funds to close Gitmo until the administration comes up with a satisfactory plan. Harry Reid yesterday talking about Guantanamo.
Guantanamo makes us less safe. However, this is neither the time nor the bill, to deal with this.
Dick Durbin said the plan to close Gitmo is not dead, only that the funding will have to wait until the administration devises an acceptable plan to handle the closure, the closure and the transfer of detainees. Durbin said that he could support transferring detainees to U.S. prison. He said our prisons are filled with dangerous people, including terrorists, and not a single one has escaped. Senator Harry Reid.
If terrorists are released in the United States, part of what we don't want is them to be put in prisons in the United States. We don't want them around the United States.
Well, then what?
Yeah,
exactly.
Then
that's
what's
my point.
What's your plan?
Yes, another huge legal mess George Bush has created, and yet how are we going to ask other countries to take them? First of all, we created this mess at Gitmo. Senator Mitch McChinless of Kentucky.
Shutting this facility now could only serve one end, that's to make Americans less safe than Guantanamo has.
And it would not serve to help me find my upper lip.
Exactly. He said Guantanamo is the perfect place for these terrorists. It's like, anywhere that they can't get out is a perfect place. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, that's the question that is amazing. Did George Bush really think he could keep all these people, you know, indefinitely with no charges? The answer is yeah, I guess so. He figured that, you know, another problem he kicked down the road to the next president, you know, a problem somebody else will have to figure out. So I'm not saying it's not a hot potato politically, but... All right, Mitch McChinn, listen.
Because it really has worked very, very well. No one has escaped from Guantanamo since 9/11. No one. And we know that communities in America do not want these terrorists.
Well, how about we just change the practices at Gitmo? So it's, we're not waterboarding people.
Can we be assured the practices will be changed?
The other thing he said, that this is the perfect place for these terrorists. Well, like Jim always says, they may not all be terrorists. That's
right,
the problem.
Yeah. Exactly.
A lot That's of the are, problem with us not having a plan legally in
well,
the first place.
Well, they're terrorists now.
Sitting there for years without a trial, without being accused of anything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shirley in Phoenix also disappointed in Harry Reid. Hello, Shirley.
Boy, do I love you guys.
I love you back.
Oh, thank you. Yes. It just comes down to simple, simple thinking of what's going on. And it's so slimy, it makes me sick. Why did we end up in Iraq with some of our Democrats voting for it? It was election year.
Yep.
Is Harry Reid running for re-election?
Yeah, I mean, this is what I've been saying, even about the Nancy Pelosi thing, is that, you know, I understand the position she was in, but I do wish a lot of Democrats spoke out more loudly about a lot of things.
But it has a lot to do with re-election. Jim, you know, all Harry Reid had to do was just stop at a certain point, but when he said, not in my backyard kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
Jim West said the same thing. The
mm-hmm.
Republicans are cracking me up. They know this.
Yeah.
They all know this is about re-election.
Yeah. You know, Shirley, did you see, I don't know which show it was last night, but, you know, Karen Hughes now is speaking out against torture and what it does to our image in the world. It's like...
Did you see Keith Olbermann last night?
Yep. That's what I'm saying. Like, now everybody wants to, you know, rewrite history. Well, you know, I spoke out loudly about this. All right, well, loudly, but behind closed doors where no one could, you know what I mean? Like, now everybody has a conscience.
3 in the morning, but, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it publicly. Jeez, are you crazy?
Also, CNN is running an interview with someone who was at Gitmo this morning, someone who has been at Gitmo, and she said that waterboarding is just the tip of the iceberg as to what went on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. So, boy.
Barry in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Bear.
Hi. I think it's really good that we have a plan for closing Gitmo before we fund it, just like the way we had a plan for everything that happened in Iraq before Congress funded that.
Yeah, right.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I totally forgot. Yeah, it's a bad idea. Forget it.
Exactly. Well, you know, I give the president credit for, you know, the closing Gitmo, but, you know, you're right. I think there's so much on his plate, but obviously this needs to be more specific.
It does.
I mean, it's the right thing to do, but, you know, I gotta say, you know me, I hardly ever criticize the president, but this one I gotta say.
Yeah, dragging his feet a little bit on the plan.
All right, 20 minutes after the hour, right back with more on the Gitmo controversy on the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right, this is my show, and it's a serious intellectual hour of discussion, and I want to keep it that way.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz coming up in just a few minutes. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Charles in Los Angeles on Gitmo. Hey, Charles.
Yes, good. Good morning.
Good morning.
Agree with Chris's wise statement. You know, let's make sure that we're not committing crimes down in Gitmo now.
And, what's that?
That we're not committing crimes in Gitmo.
Yeah, well, you know, Jim and I guess, kind of agree that, you know, why not keep Gitmo open? Just make sure that we're not doing the evil crap that we were doing before.
Well, yeah, it's not the location. It's what we were doing there.
It's the symbolism of Guantanamo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, too, is we do have terrorists on American soil now from that first World Trade bombing.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't escaped.
Yep.
Now, the third point deals with this credit card thing. You know, the interest rate on credit cards used to be tax deductible.
Yep.
That's right.
And I'd like to see that reinstated, so if you can pass it on to your friends in Congress, that'd be a great thing for millions of Americans.
Yes, because, you know, they fear me, like the Republican Congress people fear Rush.
Right.
All right.
Uh-huh.
I want a report on this on my desk by the end of the day, Congresswoman Schultz. All right.
Yeah, she'll get right on that.
Yeah, exactly. Did I hear? I thought I heard. So I got to ask her the details of the credit card bill, because I thought I heard somewhere that the credit card companies now are going to start trying to penalize people with really good credit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people that
they're doing it now. They're cutting people's
because they're not making any money on you if you're
right.
if you're paying your
right.
bill in full on time.
Yeah, so they're doing everything they can to make you make a late payment mm-hmm. or to screw you up.
Yep.
See, now this is about me. So now, because I told you I'm actually I'm an elderly shut in that
yes.
hoards eats cat food. And,
see, this
whatever.
But I pay my I do, like, I don't ever pay interest. I pay I
right.
only buy what I can afford, so I pay my whole bill on
you're
time
one of the
every
few.
Month.
You're one of the few.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. It's like now they're going, who can we screw with now? I know the people that pay on time.
So you'll get a bill now that's backdated a month.
Right.
Like,
they could do is reduce your limit.
Right.
And
have been doing that.
Right. And that puts you over your limit if you spend a whole lot during a month, and therefore you need to pay fees for being over your limit.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
it's really insidious what they're
doing.
See,
that's the thing. And I'm somebody, I'm going, I have perfect credit, so I don't need to look into this. And I'm going, now I need to start
you
going,
really
wait
do.
A minute. I'm not, you think, if I'm not doing anything wrong, they're not screwing me. Not the case. They're
right.
going, we're not making as much money over here, so now we need to figure out how to make it over here.
And as happened with me and one of our callers, too, they might suddenly, your credit card company could be bought up by another company, and suddenly you have finance charges, which
yeah.
you didn't have before, and they can screw up your credit rating that way.
Roz in Atlanta on Gitmo. Hey, Roz, welcome.
Oh, well, apparently no one in Congress or Senate has the foggiest idea how the American prison system works.
Yeah. Harry Reid apparently believes that there's some point in the transfer of prisoners where they let them go for a while.
Well, the bottom line is, in Gitmo, they're all among people that speak their own language. They socialize together in the prison population. You bring them to America, the first thing you're going to have to do is separate them from the general population. That means you're going to put them in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to put them in solitary confinement. They're going to be with guards that don't speak their language. They don't have any interaction with people from their own country. And you ask anybody that's been in a foreign prison where you don't speak the language and you're
mm-hmm.
isolated, you'll tell those people anything. That'll work better than waterboarding.
Mm-hmm.
And
who's
ever escaped from solitary confinement?
Yeah, well, I have a friend, a friend that works in a lot of the maximum security prisons here as a psychologist,
mm-hmm.
and she was even saying within the prisons, much more so than on the outside. It's very racially, racially segregated and the gangs.
Mm-hmm. I saw Oz. I know what goes on.
Listen, I watch MSNBC by mistake on the weekends.
Oh, God.
Not because I want to. That's what's on.
I'm just hoping it's more like Oz and less like, Midnight Express or something.
God.
All right. Big doings, as we said, on Capitol Hill with, of course, the failure of the Gitmo funding and the passage of the Credit Card Bill of Rights. We will find out the details of all of that from Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz coming up next on the Newsmaker Hotline on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, it is so hard to find funny women, and you are hilarious.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Big, big, big doings. Lots going on Capitol Hill. If only there was someone wired in, somebody that, what? Chris, who is it?
Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz from the great state of Florida.
She's our favorite.
Yes, she is.
Good morning, Congresswoman.
That's some impressive music.
Well, you are
thank you.
You are an impressive woman. Listen, before we get to all the big doings on Capitol Hill, I have to tell you something personally. We talked last time, obviously, about your battle with breast cancer and how the bill you had on the floor of Congress and everything that you're doing to speak out about it. I found out in the meantime that someone in my family has breast cancer.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, and I have to tell you, I told you it's because of you. I got a mammogram, and I'm clean, but I was like 3 years late. You know?
That was so touching and meaningful to me, Stephanie. And you know, the fact that you are such a high-profile personality to help get the word out about the importance of early detection and young women being focused on young women and all women being focused on their breast health is so incredibly helpful and important. So thank you so much. Actually, we have 301 co-sponsors of the Early Act now on the House side.
Thank you, because that's what I was saying. Is you just that's the thing. We all get busy. I didn't even realize that my last one was 3 years ago. It's one of those things that you just, unless people like you are speaking out and doing something about it, I mean, that's the tragedy, is how many people die just because they got busy and forgot to get
personal neglect. Too many women put everybody else in front of themselves, and they don't focus on their own health and their own health care needs. So the screening and the awareness is very important.
Yeah, absolutely. But, particularly if you're like me and you never had any, family history or anything like that, but I think, that's
it.
Yeah, well, really, yeah, same thing,
no,
right? But you can't.
Family history.
Mm-mm. Well, anyway, can't be careful enough. And thanks again. I just wanted to thank you again
all
on
right.
that.
Thank you very much.
Now, Congressman, a lot of stuff going on that people are talking about. The Gitmo funding. Let's talk about the credit card bill of rights first, because that's obviously on the mind of a lot of consumers. Can you tell us the ins and outs of this bill?
What this bill would do is it levels the playing field between card issuers and consumers by applying some common sense regulations that would do things like banning retroactive interest rate hikes on existing balances, banning double cycle billing, playing around with due date gimmicks, because how many of us have dealt with a situation where you were about 30 seconds late on your credit card payment, and all of a sudden they jack you up without warning to an unbelievably high interest rate and make that permanent.
Yep.
And I mean, that's how some of the people who are already having difficulty paying their credit card bills get into an impossible situation that they can't dig out of. So the Credit Card Holder Bill of Rights is designed to make sure that we take the gotcha out of credit card bills and make sure that we can get some steadying on people's balances.
Well, yeah, we were just talking about that that was the latest thing we've been hearing, is that even people that have perfect credit, now they're thinking, how can we get those people? How can we make, because we're not making any money on people that aren't paying interest.
It's almost like the credit card companies are lying in wait for their customers to just make a mistake. And then they come in, they move in for the kill. And that's not fair. The font size that some of these interest rate hikes are printed in is ridiculous. Look, I represent a constituency that has many, many senior citizens who have trouble with their eyesight as they get older, and the font size alone is challenging. They're just caught unawares, and so their balances spiral ever upwards, and they can really never dig out. I mean, some of these large balances, the prediction is that it would take someone decades to actually pay it off if they were just paying the minimums on their credit card.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't want to encourage people to pay the minimums. We want to make sure that we establish some financial literacy so that people understand that they shouldn't be using their credit cards as free money.
Right.
But we've got to restore some balance here and some fairness and get rid of the gotcha in credit card bill.
Now, I know the differences between the House and Senate versions have to be worked out, but it looks like it will get to the president before Memorial Day recess.
Yeah, we expect that it will, yeah.
Okay. Here's what I love is whenever you guys try to get something done, a Republican does – this is the moment that made me go, Senator Tom Coburn, the Republican of Oklahoma, attached an amendment that would restore a Bush administration policy allowing loaded guns in national parks.
What does that have to do
with helping the people that are struggling with their credit card debt?
I know. There is very little that Senator Coburn does that I understand, or that anyone understands, to be honest with you. But that's on par with the NRA, who thinks that you should also be able to bring weapons into hospitals. So
I haven't heard such a good idea in a while, Congresswoman, to get people liquored up and armed before they go into national parks for Memorial Day. I think that's wise.
not quite moving in the new direction that we'd like to see. It also really has absolutely the dramatity rules that occur exist in the Senate are baffling. You could never attach an amendment like that to credit card legislation in the House because it would never be germane. But Senate is a unique institution.
Right. Now, Congresswoman, let's move along to the we're mad at everybody this morning, by the way, over the Gitmo thing. I mean, I think the administration should have had the foresight to know this was going to be a political hot potato, right? But at the same time, I think we're going to have to take some of these prisoners, aren't we? Or we're not going to be able to get any other countries to take them.
Well, Stephanie, I think President Obama definitely recognized that it was going to be a hot potato. I don't think that there was any illusion in the administration that this was going to be a challenging and difficult issue. But President Obama knows he was elected to stand up for what he believes is right. And the stain, the human rights stain that Gitmo has become is incredibly important to be that we wipe it clean. What we're going to do and what we included in the Supplemental Appropriations Act, and I serve on the Appropriations Committee, is we made sure that the administration needs to develop and write and issue a plan and assess the risk of each of the prisoners that are currently detained at Gitmo and that they cannot be released.
Right, but Congresswoman, what I'm asking is, don't you think they should have done that before they asked for the funding? Because now we're in this political hot potato with the Republicans, right?
No, I don't really think that the order made much difference. We were going to the Republicans are hell-bent on trying to make this more of an issue than it is. Mm-hmm. We have maximum security prisons. I mean, how many front-page newspaper stories in America have we seen where you have prisoners escaping from maximum security facilities?
Right. Right.
So, I mean, this is an overblown, fan the flames issue because the Republicans don't have any other issues.
Yeah, so exactly.
Everybody needs to just step back, take a deep breath. We will not do anything that is going to risk the lives or the safety of Americans on the continental U.S. soil. Mm-hmm. And I have absolutely no qualms about that, and that's why we took the extra step in the Congress of making sure that report is required, the assessment is required, so that we can make sure that everybody.
So you agree, Congresswoman, with Senator Durbin, that you think we will get there with closing Gitmo. It's just this is just delaying it for a bit.
I think we're going to get there, and we're going to get there in a responsible way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I have to ask you about the right trying to make Nancy Pelosi the issue in torture and where you stand on that, because I find it pretty incredible.
They are lost. The Republicans are lost in the wilderness. They have nothing else. So, the fact that the Speaker had a situation in which she is trying to articulate something that is very difficult to articulate. I mean, we're talking about intelligence information that she is not allowed to divulge.
Right.
So
exactly. John Boehner knows very well that she can't produce evidence because it's classified.
Allowed,
right.
Imagine trying to tiptoe through a press conference talking about issues that are top secret and that you're prohibited from divulging.
Right.
So people who are criticizing her and suggesting that she somehow, was trying to, lie her way through the press conference or rewrite history, don't understand that when you serve on the Intelligence Committee, you are prohibited.
Yes.
I mean, the bottom line is that the Speaker is opposed to torture. The Democrats in Congress and the President is opposed to torture. And we are the ones that made sure that message was sent upon President Obama's election, that torture is not the policy of the United States, and because it was the policy of the United States, and we discovered that, we've made sure that we are taking the steps to ensure that it never happens again.
Well,
and that is the bottom line.
Right, and frankly, yesterday, I mean, the President said he has confidence in Speaker Pelosi, David Obie, Senator Graham, there's a number of people now that are not only supporting her, but backing up her story, and I think, frankly, this is more reason why we need to get this all out in the open, and we need to, prosecute the people that ordered torture, not the people that couldn't have prevented it.
Let's even go back to Senator Bob Graham's comments of a few days ago, who was the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee at the time that these events unfolded, and he has backed up the Speaker's recollection. So we need to make sure that the bottom line message is what's clear. We don't tolerate torture in the United States of America, and we get down in the mud and risk the safety of our own detainees in other countries if we go there. And
yep.
we need to make sure that we roll back the horrific policy of the Bush administration that allowed torture to occur, and that we turn the page so that we can restore the United States' credibility as a leader in human
yeah.
rights.
Don't you love everybody trying to repair their reputation now? Did you see Karen Hughes? Oh, I said torture was wrong. I said that a lot behind closed doors.
Yeah, right.
Yada, thanks. Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, will you host the show with me every day for all 3 hours?
I think she has more important things to do.
Doesn't hurt to ask.
No, I don't know. You know, any time, Stephanie. It is always, again, I will go back to that. It is so much more fun to be on the same side.
Yeah, exactly. Whew, I'll say. All right. Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, thanks for coming on with us as always. We appreciate it.
Take care. Thanks for talking.
All right. There
Bye.
She goes.
Yay.
Yeah. Woo. Back in the primary days, that was a cold sweat in the
yeah.
Larry King green room when I knew I was going up against her.
It was a little prickly.
We got in a little spat on the radio show,
yes.
but now it's all been magically healed. All right. 44 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the Gitmo controversy as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is not normal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Had me feeling like she's ready to blow.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Chris in Chicago on torture. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I have a couple of fears regarding torture, not just the torture that we have committed, the torture in general.
Mm-hmm.
The torture that we've been using is really just about mimicking that was used on Irish folks, where they found it to be torture. They found people guilty. Nobody ever did time. Torturers are rarely, if ever, punished. And once torture has insinuated itself into our hierarchy, it's part of us now.
Mm.
We can't get it out.
Well, and I beg to differ. I think that's what, you know, certainly the Obama administration is trying to do. We're trying to reclaim our good name and say this is not who we are.
You know, I will send you a book because there are several studies that show that, and that not only that, but the torturable class expands once it started. In other words, right now we can't stand these people, so we're torturing them pretty soon.
But Chris,
somebody else.
Look at what's his name? How do you say his name? Ali Soufan, the FBI agent. I mean, there was obviously a lot of debate and dissension. Look at Karen Hughes saying, "Oh, you know, I argued against this behind closed doors." I mean, there was a lot of dissension even in the Bush administration with people that knew it wasn't right and that it didn't work.
We were torturing people in Cambodia. It didn't just disappear within the CIA once, you know, the war stuff. Okay, we're not doing that anymore. That was in there. Before the memos came down, there were people there on the ground who knew the techniques, who knew how to use, you know, these kinds of tactics.
So you're saying it's just human nature, that everyone's just going to be a torturer and there's nothing you can do about it?
No, not at all. But this book, Unspeakable Acts, Ordinary People,
mm-hmm.
The Dynamics of Torture by John Conroy, cites so many studies in which they say that it's there. It may go underground,
mm-hmm.
but it is part of it.
Well,
I don't think
right, but it certainly makes a difference if you have it coming from the top, in this case Bush and Cheney, essentially ordering these techniques.
That is just pulling it right out there, and that was brilliant, you know, that it had to come out. But, and I don't think we're going to be running around the globe doing this secretly.
Right. No,
there.
I hear you. I mean, the problem is this is not, again, not a few bad apples, you know. This was all the way from the top, mm-hmm. and it was ordered specifically to get faulty information to get us into the Iraq war. Let's go to James in Pittsburgh. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Pelosi. Hello, James.
Hello.
I'm completely against just about everything you just said there and
okay.
your last guest there.
We'll make a note of it.
First of all, it's your opinion and that caller's opinion, and you have nothing to
about
back
what?
It up to say that about the enhanced interrogations.
Torture.
It's torture. It's
called torture.
Oh, well, that's your opinion. But
no, it's a fact.
Enhanced, you mean like that's like a breast enhancement?
Okay, so that's what you do. You just quiet the other side, the other opinion, right? I'm calling in for an opinion.
Uh-huh.
Do I get a chance to give my opinion on
it? Yes, I'm saying that that's a euphemism used to disguise to what is torture.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
But, well, how come we called it torture when the Japanese did it to us in World War II and then we executed some of them?
The Japanese, according to documents, didn't have psychologists available, didn't have doctors available, didn't have... weren't paying attention to exactly what they were doing. The prisoners
we've killed people, you know.
See, you're not even listening here.
We've killed people under torture as well.
You're right.
Yep.
Okay, but that's what's wrong with your side. You won't even listen to you have no.
I'm listening to you, but I'm trying to make a.
You keep on trying to put words in my mouth and aren't letting me.
James, we're not going to let you filibuster though. Especially when you're spouting off false statements.
Okay, you're trying to explain why it was different when the Japanese did it to us.
I'm using facts.
Okay. How is it different?
You guys are using opinions.
No, I'm not. The Japanese waterboarded our prisoners. We called it torture and we executed them. Why is it now an enhanced interrogation technique and not torture when we do it?
Okay, it's torture. That's right. You happy?
Yes.
Okay,
yes. Yes, I'm so happy.
It was needed. Okay, so.
I'm sorry. It is torture, but it was necessary.
In 2002 and 2003, how come the majority of people, including Democrats, wanted to do everything they could to get information out of these people? And they voted for it, and they said,
yes,
okay.
Yes, because they were terrified.
And Pelosi, even Rachel Maddow, a very left person on MSNBC, interviews her, and she contradicts herself twice.
James, did I hear you say, yes, okay, it's torture, but it was necessary?
It was necessary as enhanced interrogation procedures because they needed something more to get to these people. And
Except they used it to get false information.
James, they got false information.
When they started using quote-unquote enhanced interrogation techniques.
James, do you remember that?
When are you inside the CIA getting the information saying, oh, it's false? Where did you get that information from?
James, do you know Al Libby, the terrorist? Do you remember the terrorist named Al Libby? Remember Dick Cheney cited him over and over?
Can you answer my question? Where
no,
you, I'm,
you can answer my question first. Do you remember Dick Cheney cited him many, many times as the person that said there is a link between Saddam and Al-Qaeda? Do you remember that?
Yeah,
it turned out he recanted his confession. It was under torture. The CIA admitted that it was faulty information, and Dick Cheney continued to lie about it.
Okay, 1 out of 100. Well, okay,
no, we
so
got
Pelosi,
a lot of faulty
so
information.
Pelosi's lying, so Pelosi's lying, too. So now,
what?
Like,
how do you know that?
Lying about what?
I mean, they're all
how is she lying?
I don't like them
were
all,
you in the briefing, James?
Were you?
Well, you're asserting that she was lying, so were you in the briefings? Do you have proof of that?
Yes.
You do. How is that? How come a lot of other senators and congresspeople are backing her up now?
How come the majority of people don't back her up?
What do you mean the majority of people? The majority of people weren't in those briefings, but Senator Bob Graham was.
Rachel Maddow nailed her and didn't even mean to. Her own person nailed her.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, so you didn't see it.
Yeah, I did see it. I watch it almost every night.
Okay, it's contradictory. She contradicted herself.
Nancy Pelosi didn't order the torture. The Bush administration did.
It's a distraction.
Okay.
All right, James. I love you. I miss you and love you already.
Jesus.
Okay. He's trying to throw chum in the water.
Yeah. Yeah, but over here. Look over there. Look over here. Look over there. Look, when the North Koreans and the Chinese tortured our guys in Korea, they did it specifically to get false information to use at show trials. That's what you use it for, and that's what they did, too, because they desperately wanted a link between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein, which did not exist, which George Bush has admitted.
Kim in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi. You know, I am a hippy-dippy liberal, obviously, because with all this Gitmo business, I've been thinking all along that the idea would be to do, like, meaningful trials and then either convict people or let them go from Gitmo. And so the idea of releasing them to the U.S. into, like, maximum security prisons, frankly, I think is an awful idea from a human rights perspective because you're going to isolate them. They're going to be around people who don't speak their language, as one of your callers noted earlier.
Right.
And then they're going to sit here, what, for years while a habeas case grind through the court process.
Yep. Well, all good points. We will continue on that. Also, the Credit Card Bill of Rights passed. Harry Reid has some thoughts about that in stand-up news next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour and still no Dick. Oh, dear. Dick Cheney got preempted. The president's still talking. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us, all their executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, Representative Gerald Nadler of the great state of New York. We will get the latest on that bomb plot that was foiled in New York City and talk to him about much more, about the president's speech on Gitmo and much more. Also, magically, the hilarious comedian Carol Leifer will appear live in studio in just a moment. All right, let's check in with the president, see what he's wrapping up his speech.
Thorough review of this practice. We plan to embrace several principles for reform. We will apply a stricter legal test to material that can be protected under the state secrets privilege. We will not assert the privilege in court without first following our own formal process, including review by a Justice Department committee and the personal approval of the Attorney General. And each year we will voluntarily report to Congress when we have invoked the privilege and why. Because, as I said before, there must be proper oversight over our actions.
Oversight?
Now, in all these matters related to the disclosure of sensitive information, I wish I could say that there was some simple formula out there to be had. There is not. These often involve tough calls, involve competing concerns, and they require a surgical approach. But the common thread that runs through all of my decisions is simple. We will safeguard what we must to protect the American people, but we will also ensure the accountability and oversight that is the hallmark of our constitutional system. I will never hide the truth because it's uncomfortable. I will deal with Congress and the courts as co-equal branches of government. I will tell the American people what I know and don't know, and when I release something publicly or keep something secret, I will tell you why.
Look, we may not agree on abortion, but we should find some common ground. Oh, sorry! Wrong speech. Oops. Sunday speech.
You're not here yet, Carol Leifer.
All the areas that I've discussed today. The policies that I've proposed represent a new direction from the last 8 years. To protect the American people and our values, we've banned enhanced interrogation techniques. We are closing the prison at Guantanamo.
Yahoo!
Woo.
We are reforming military commissions, and we will pursue a new legal regime to detain terrorists. We are declassifying more information and embracing more oversight of our actions. And we're narrowing our use of the state secrets privilege. These are dramatic changes that will put our approach to national security on a surer, safer, and more sustainable footing. Their implementation will take time, but they will get done. There's a core principle that we will apply to all of our actions. Even as we clean up the mess at Guantanamo, we will constantly reevaluate our approach, subject our decisions to review from other branches of government, as well as the public. We seek the strongest and most sustainable legal framework for addressing these issues in the long term. Not to serve immediate politics, but to do what's right over the long term. By doing that, we can leave behind a legacy that outlasts my administration, my presidency, that endures for the next president and the president after that. A legacy that protects the American people and enjoys broad legitimacy at home and abroad. Now, this is what I mean when I say that we need to focus on the future. I recognize that many still have a strong desire to focus on the past. When it comes to actions of the last 8 years, passions are high.
War crimes.
Some Americans are angry.
More criminals.
Others want to refight debates that have been settled. In some cases, debates that they have lost.
Talking to you, Dick.
I know that these debates lead directly, in some cases, to a call for a fuller accounting, perhaps through an independent commission. Now, I've opposed the creation of such a commission because I believe that our existing democratic institutions are strong enough to deliver accountability.
Are the pauses getting longer?
The Congress can review abuses of our
He's
values.
He's in an echoey place.
And there are ongoing inquiries by the Congress into matters like enhanced interrogation techniques.
He started by saying hello, hello, hello.
The Department of Justice and our courts can work through and punish any violations of our laws or miscarriages of justice.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
It's no secret there's a tendency in Washington to spend our time pointing fingers at one another. And it's no secret that our media culture feeds the impulse that leads to a good fight and good copy.
That's you, Stephanie. Media
fight,
culture.
Fight, 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 fight.
But nothing
fight.
Will contribute more than that than extended relitigation of the last 8 years.
Shove chain in the lockers.
Already we've seen how that kind of effort only leads those in Washington to different sides to laying blame. It can distract us from focusing our time, our efforts, and our politics on the challenges of the future. We see that above all in the recent debate, how the recent debate has obscured the truth and sent people into opposite and absolutist ends. On the one side of the spectrum, there are those who make little allowance for the unique challenges posed by terrorism and would almost never put national security over transparency. And on the other end of the spectrum, there are those who embrace a view that can be summarized in two words: anything goes.
Don't look at me.
Their arguments suggest that the ends of fighting terrorism can be used to justify any means and that the president should have blanket authority to do whatever he wants.
What's your point?
Provided it is a president with whom they agree. And both sides may be sincere in their views, but neither side is right.
But anything goes.
American people are not absolutist. And they don't elect us to impose a rigid ideology on our problems. They know that we need not sacrifice our security for our values, nor sacrifice our values for our security, so long as we approach difficult questions with honesty and care and a dose of common sense. That, after all, is the unique genius of America. That's the challenge laid down by our Constitution. That has been the source of our strength through the ages. That's what makes the United States of America different as a nation. I can stand here today as President of the United States and say without exception or equivocation that we do not torture and that we will vigorously protect our people while forging a strong and durable framework that allows us to fight terrorism while abiding by the rule of law. Make no mistake, if we fail to turn the page on the approach that was taken over the past several years, then I will not be able to say that as President. And if we cannot stand for our core values, then we are not keeping faith with the documents that are enshrined in this hall.
I think he's just running out the clock now.
You know, he used the word genius. If only there was somebody that... What? Who is it, Jim?
Hey, from the great state of New York. It's
no, it's not.
No, it isn't? Oh.
It's Carol Leifer.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Carol Leifer.
Although I am from the great state of New York.
I know you are.
Yes, originally.
Hello. Boy, that's the fastest anyone's ever gotten in here. You barely finished ringing the bell. Good morning, girl genius.
Good morning.
I think, actually, you've summed it up better than the president in the title of your new book, When You Lie About Your Age, The Terrorists Win.
That's right.
Where did the title of this book come from?
You know, Stephanie, it's a line from one of the essays in my book, and it's just basically about I am for everybody just embracing who they are, be yourself, be your age, you know, and it's part of that essay of just, you know.
As you know, I have been a big fan of yours. I have loved you since I was 33 last year.
Why, thank you.
Anyway, because I don't know, we have to give people the fun facts on Carol Leifer before we continue. A lot of people don't know this. The character of Elaine on Seinfeld was based on you, yes?
Well,
sort of.
You know, it's a very thin line. It's just that I dated Jerry and then we stayed friends. And that's where the comparison ends. I'm quite a good dancer. You know, I don't shove people across a room and, you know, say, get out. I mean, you know, that's really the thin thread that it lies on. But I wrote on Seinfeld for many years and many episodes.
Right.
The eye, the beard, the lip reader, all those, you know.
She's one of the probably the most brilliant comedy writers out here, executive producers.
Stephanie, please finish your thought, but come on.
And why do I say that? I say that because you gave me a part on your brilliant sitcom All Right Already.
That's right. And if you go to YouTube, I bet you it's up there.
In which I utter the immortal line, Bone King?
That's right. You
thank
were great.
You
were excellent that day.
Why, thank you, Carol Leifer.
Yes.
I believe Carol Leifer wrote the line, Bone King.
You know what? Actually, we had a really funny groundling on that day with us, Jim. And it was his sketch that we developed into an entire episode.
Look at you giving credit.
My WB show, yes.
All right. So what does the new book focus on?
You know what? It's just funny essays about everything, every parts of life. But it mostly focuses on getting older. And, you know, I'm anti-plastic surgery. I think women should, you know, and men should be who they are, embrace their age.
Right.
So it's a lot of stuff.
I agree with you
everything.
Now, but that's after I took the free plastic surgery I got for being on the radio.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Right. One of the perks.
Yes.
From a sponsor.
Now I wouldn't do it again. However... what did you just listen to the president's speech? What did you think?
Guantanamo. You know, I played there, Stephanie.
Did you?
Yes.
Is that a tough crowd?
Tough crowd.
Literally.
It was torturous. You know what? I love Obama and, I love all his policies and everything that he does. The pauses are killing me though. In these speeches. I mean, they were dramatic and good to a point, and now you can set up camp in them.
Yes, as a comedian that lives and dies by timing, I understand.
Yeah,
the pauses.
Right. But
all I've got.
They're becoming Ted Koppel-esque.
To do Barack Obama.
Okay.
Exactly. You see? It's that length of a pause now. Really.
Exactly. It was between this is Nightline. It's almost that long a pause.
Yes, yes.
It is Koppel-esque.
You know, I'm a lefty, and I love his, you know, I mean, I'm, you know, gearing up for the Supreme Court. I mean, just what bugs me about the whole process is, you know, do you think he'll, you know, get a nominee that's in line with his philosophies and think, of course he will.
Yes.
He's president. That's what he's supposed to do.
Don't you love that empathy has become the, that's a bad thing, according to the right wing. That's like, you know, French and gay.
Right. You know, will your nominee be, will it be a litmus test on abortion? Yes, it will be.
Yes.
Because that's what people voted for me for. Yes, it'll be a litmus test.
Yes.
Let's just be honest about it.
All right. 20 minutes after the hour, the president just wrapping up. Oh, there's Dick.
Oh, who's that?
Dick Cheney. We'll let Carol Leifer heckle him live and Representative Gerald Nadler as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
We're an unusual family.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. We joined Dick live in progress. Oh, he just said we shouldn't look back, Jim. Back, you know, where the war crimes are. Don't look back there.
That attack itself was, of course, the most devastating strike in a series of terrorist plots carried out against America.
Oh, and that happened on your watch. That's right. Oh, I don't need to hear any more. I'd rather talk to somebody who knows a little something about something.
Yes, how about...
Who is it, Jim?
From the great state of New York, it's Representative Gerald Nadler.
That's a perfect idea. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning.
I would rather hear from you than Dick Cheney at this point.
Well, I'm glad of that.
What was your reaction to the president's speech?
Well, I had a very, in general, very good, but there's quite a few questions that he left open. I mean, he knocked down this demagoguery about Guantanamo. Mm-hmm. That was the best part of the speech. He pointed out that, you know, we should close it because it was set up to be a legal black hole where American laws wouldn't apply.
Yep.
But that doesn't even work. The Supreme Court says American laws apply.
Yep.
So the reason it was set up didn't matter. He pointed out that that the courts have ordered release and that people, and in fact, 500 people have been released by the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
And he pointed out that the questions that we have to face now of what to do with the people who are there now arise not because he decided to close the camp, but because they have to be released or given some sort of due process as ordered by the courts. And this would be true whether he was president or Bush was president or McCain was president, or whether he kept Guantanamo open or not. So he got rid of, he also pointed out that this demagoguery about you can't release anybody into the United States into maximum security prisons, we have some of the worst terrorists in the world, Ramzi Youssef, Zacharias Moussaoui, Omari, in American prisons. We have supermax prisons. And some of these people are going to have to go to American prisons.
Yep, you made that point to FBI Director Mueller yesterday.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting when he was asked what his solution is. He said, "I don't have one. It's a difficult issue." I mean,
well,
that's the problem.
It is clear. This whole question of people should be kept in Guantanamo instead of in a maximum security prison in the United States makes no sense at all. And we have many of the worst terrorists in the world in our prisons now, and there's never been a prison escape, and we keep them there. He also, however, there were some questions that he raised. He says we're going to divide the prisoners into five categories. Those who will be tried in federal courts, fine. Those who violated the laws of war will have military commissions for them. That begs the question. I mean, he said there'll be we won't permit evidence from torture, won't permit a certain hearsay evidence, etc. But where will we draw the line? In other words, apparently we're going to give some level of less due process protection than in a normal American court. How much less is unclear. But you know, the due process protections in American courts were developed over hundreds of years as the best way of finding out the truth as to whether someone's innocent or guilty. So if you're going to give less due process protections, we're going to have to see what those are as to whether that makes any sense at all.
Congressman, do you think lawmakers got their questions answered? This is a detailed enough plan about getting to get the money? You don't?
No. Well, to get the money, I don't know. But it's left questions, and the biggest question, which he did not answer today, and he just said we're going to have to figure it out, basically, and nobody has an answer to this question at this point. Detainees who cannot be prosecuted because the evidence was tainted or whatever, because they were tortured under the Bush administration, but who are dangerous, who are judged to be dangerous. They received military training from Al-Qaeda. They tell you right out, I'm going to go attack the United States if I'm released. Mm-hmm. You must hold them somehow. You cannot allow them to be released, but he said you have to have a proper process and a periodic review. He didn't say what the proper process would be.
So questions.
We must have a legitimate legal framework, but he didn't say what that would be, and we haven't figured that out. The other major question, the whole state secrets question. Well, there are two other major questions. Whole state secrets question.
Congressman, can you, I'm so sorry, I know this has been a crazy morning. Can you hang on for just a couple of minutes? We have a hard break here.
Well, I'll have to get back to you because there's a vote on this.
Okay. All right. We will hopefully get back with you this week. Thank you so much,
okay.
Congressman. All right.
Bye-bye.
Congressman Gerald Nadler, back live with Carol Leifer as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Please save your hippie BS for the winter months, okay?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Joined live in the studio by comedian extraordinaire Carol Leifer, author of the new book, When You Lie About Your Age, The Terrace Win.
How appropriate for today's show, right?
Exactly.
I think that was some very smart booking on your part.
You
very
started
smart.
Doing a stand-up in the 70s, I believe.
I did.
With Seinfeld. So you know heckling. So you want to heckle Dick for a little while?
Sure.
Dick Cheney is now speaking.
Turn it
at the,
up.
Yes.
Over on the left wing of the president's party, there appears to be little curiosity in finding out what was learned from the terrorist. The kind of answers thereafter
would
be
the
heard
faulty
before
intelligence you were hoping
Truth
for?
Commission. Some are even demanding that those who recommended and approved the interrogations be prosecuted.
Oops.
In effect, treating political disagreements as a punishable offense.
No, as
and
war
political
crimes.
Opponents. As criminals.
No, war crimes as war crimes.
It's hard to imagine a worse precedent filled with more possibilities for trouble
like
and abuse
president, didn't it?
Than to have an incoming administration.
He is sweaty.
Dude, hide it just a little bit.
Of its predecessor. Apart from doing a serious injustice to intelligence operators and lawyers who deserve far better for their devoted service,
torture.
The danger here is a loss of focus on national security
and, I'll go to prison.
And what it requires. I would advise the administration to think very carefully about the course ahead.
I'd advise them to go.
All the zeal that has been directed at the interrogations is utterly misplaced. And staying on that path will only lead our government further away from its duty to protect the American people.
And keep my ass out of jail.
One person who, by all accounts, objected to the release of the interrogation memos was the director of Central Intelligence, Leon Panetta.
Oops.
He was joined in that view by at least four of his predecessors. I assume they felt this way because they understand the importance of protecting intelligence sources, methods, and personnel. But now that this once top secret information is out for all to see, including the enemy, let me draw your attention to some points that are routinely overlooked.
All right.
It is a fact that only detainees of the highest intelligence value were ever subjected to enhanced interrogation.
Oh, you only tortured some people.
You've heard endlessly about waterboarding. It happened to three terrorists.
Oh,
one
please.
Of them was Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind of 9/11.
I'm done with Dick.
Somebody turned on a microwave or something.
I'm done with Dick. Yeah, what happened there when he went? He said, and also terrorist. Something happened.
Turn on three microwaves simultaneously.
Somebody used a garage door opener and made a baked potato at the same time.
I love that, though. Enhanced interrogation.
Yeah. Don't you love the euphemisms?
Really,
yeah.
Very spa-like,
actually, the Nazis
doesn't it?
Came up with that euphemism.
Yeah. The Nazis, that's actually where it came from, was the enhanced interrogation techniques.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
Wow.
A phrase coined by Nazis. Yeah.
Leave it to the good old Nazis.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Carol Leifer, as a brilliant sitcom writer and producer out here in Hollywood, I think it's who better for us to pitch our new sitcom to? Oh, that dick.
Hey, I like it.
Don't you think?
I think it's very good.
You remember the Comedy Central one, That's My Bush?
Yes.
About George Bush. Don't you think? Oh, that dick.
It's a one-liner that makes you laugh right away. I'm interested already.
You see? Did I tell you I'd be able to sell this?
I like it.
All right. What do you think about this whole debate over Nancy Pelosi? Like, they're trying to make this about her.
What a pig pile on her.
Yeah. Yeah, do we have, give me 16, our good friend Sean Hannity. It's amazing. Dick Cheney is the one that ordered the code red, as you know, and now it's all about Nancy Pelosi.
She has made America less safe. She has damaged America's safety. She has made America less secure by sending a signal to men and women defending our country that they can't count on their leaders to defend them.
What?
And every day we spend worrying about the political, that she's being politically persecuted is a day we are made more vulnerable to a nuclear attack on one of our cities.
What? Nancy Pelosi.
She's
responsible for when one of our cities is going to get nuked.
Right.
Because of her.
No, it's all on her watch, yes.
So they're arguing at the same time that enhanced interrogation is the greatest thing ever keeping us safe, and she knew about it.
Yeah.
I know. Exactly. Exactly.
Didn't tell anyone how great it was.
And she heard about it all at the beauty parlor. That's what they were all talking about.
Well, this is one of the things. Give me Alex Castellanos, the right-wing tool. He's talking about that, she needs to back this up. First of all, they know it's classified, so she can't. That's why they don't take... here we go. Alex Kessler.
All Republicans want to address this issue from Newt Gingrich on down. You know, in Washington, we always think that a crisis is, oh, it's political. Somebody's political future's in jeopardy. No. A crisis is actually a moment in government when things are at stake. This is a crisis in government. The leader of the U.S. Congress has said that the intelligence agency that routinely cares for our security routinely deceives the leaders of our government.
Yes.
That's an important charge. If that is true, we've got a crisis in government. The Obama administration needs to step in, and she either needs to back that up. If she actually believes that and it's not true, it does, I think, put her in a position that makes it difficult for her to continue to lead the Congress.
Oh, my goodness. Actually, breaking news, Alex, this morning. New questions surfaced about the accuracy of a CIA document meant to settle who in Congress knew about torture approved by the Bush administration. Three new errors appear to emerge in the CIA's matrix of the 40 congressional briefings, so-called enhanced interrogation techniques.
So they appear to be backing it up.
Oh, so. Yeah. The briefing papers appear to back up Nancy Pelosi's version of events. They have, I mean, seriously, like people that weren't there at these meetings, they have, what's his name, David Opie has talked about there's errors in these charts. One of them says that Porter Goff attended a briefing as a member of Congress. He actually was the director of the CIA at the time, and they got that wrong. So, you know, I anyway.
It just goes to show you, Stephanie, that everybody needs a good laugh out there. And what better way to laugh? Then reading my book, When You Lie About Your Age, The Terrorist Wins. You like how I circled that back around there?
Speaking of non-sequiturs.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, but it's funny you picked that title because this is when you watch Dick Cheney, it's like the last 8 years. It's all they did is fearmonger.
Exactly.
If you do this, the terrorists will kill you. If you do that, the terrorists will kill you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is, you know, when I do readings and people do, you know, ask questions, I mean, people are always interested about the title and say, isn't it interesting that the word terrorist is part of a comedy title now?
Yeah.
You know, but it is because way back when, you know, it did get so overused.
Right.
You know, the terror is something. The terrorists went blank. The terrorists went that. It is funny now that it is part of a comedic title.
I think wasn't the original thing is George Bush said we need to shop or the terrorists win. I think that
was. Yes, he said right. If you don't go out.
Yes.
Out on the town, the terrorists win. You don't spend money, the terrorists win.
You don't buy one of them big old John Deere lawnmowers. Terrorists have won.
Yeah, that was like really what I never even understood that. It was. So what else do we talk about in the book? Give me another chapter title.
Well, I also talk about, fun little, you know, about bumper stickers that I think are super dumb that bug me.
Which one in particular?
Well, the Gore Lieberman one. I mean, can we really move on, people? Really? Okay.
They're hard to get off your car.
I'm telling you, and some people, they're just diehards. Get the Goo Gone out, okay? Get it out and get
Goo-Gone
it off.
Goo Gone works. I can attest to that. Or Goof Off.
Or Goof Off, yeah. Goo Gone, it does work very well.
Yes.
I can't stand when parents feel the need to boast about their children's scholastic achievements as a bumper sticker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
my honor student, yeah.
Yeah, my daughter, you know, although hearing about your children's failures... As a bumper sticker, Stephanie, I would welcome that.
That would see, and we'd all feel better about ourselves.
My daughter, Ashley, is an abject failure and personal disappointment at Oakdale Elementary. And she ain't all that cute either.
See, that would give you a chuckle stuck in traffic.
See, that kind of thing I like.
Exactly.
What about people? I'd rather be fishing. Who's stopping you? You know what I mean? Make a left, it goes to the beach, people. So there are different chapters, things light like that. I poke a lot of fun at, you know, Jewish things. Hanukkah. My book was just endorsed by the Jewish Book Council. I don't know if you know that.
I did not know that.
Yes, it's quite a high honor for my tribe.
My goodness. Yes.
Yes, indeed. And then I do talk about plastic surgery and being anti-plastic surgery.
Yes.
I mean, don't you feel...
This is where we diverge, but okay.
Really?
Well, I wouldn't have taken it if it wasn't free. But, you know, do you know one woman, if you asked her, is there anything you don't like about yourself? Anything you would change for free?
No, well, that's true, but don't you feel, living in L.A., you pass way more of what the hell did that person do to themselves than, that seemed like a very good idea. Don't you think?
Yes, it's a little overdone here.
Isn't
I will give
scary?
You that. Yes.
Yeah.
And it was awful. The recovery was awful. It really was. Well, I would never do it again.
Well, what did you have?
Everything. I'm Frankenwoman.
Well,
there's
you
barely
don't look
anything.
At all.
Why? Thank you very much.
Frankenwoman.
I am. Oh, by the way, speaking of, you were talking about the Jewish Council of whatever. A friend was telling me yesterday she loves your. You do a thing about why not many Jews commit suicide.
Yes, you know, we have the lowest incidence of suicide.
I did not know that.
Yeah, of all religions. You know, my only hunch would be, I don't know why statistically, but that in our deepest, darkest hour, you know, there's some small voice that's like, oh, my God, I hate my life. I can't believe it. I don't want to go on. Oh, look, cake. You know, and then suddenly everything is fine
cake
again.
Cake can always bring you back.
Cake can bring you off the ledge.
Come on.
Especially to my tribe. That is for sure. Yeah.
43 minutes after the hour, back with more of the hilarious Carol Leifer and her new book, When You Lie About Your Age, the Terrorists Win, as we continue, and we'll find out how old Carol Leifer is, as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Joined in studio by the hilarious Carol Leifer, author of the new book, When You Lie About Your Age, The Terrorists Win.
Hello, Stephanie.
Nancy in Buffalo loves her some Carol Leifer. Hello, Nance.
Yes, I do. Stephanie Miller and Carol Leifer, my two favorite female-type comedians.
Oh, dear.
Aren't you sweet?
That's sort of like saying, I don't know, Lenny Bruce and Carrot Top. I'm not exactly in the same league, but thank you.
Well, I have an idea. I wanted to state about what to do with the detainees.
Yes.
I think that the president should form a review board, review the cases one by one, and those who are innocent due to lack of evidence should be released to their home country and send monthly compensation checks.
Ah, oh, the Republicans will be for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Now, the new book is When You Lie About Your Age, the Terrorists Win, and you are 50 years old?
No. I'm 52.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, look at me.
Did the terrorists win if I just lied about your age?
They just won.
Jim Ward just turned 52 days ago.
Oh, mazel tov to you.
Oh,
you have written a piece called 40 Things You Know About Being 50?
I wrote 40 Things I Know at 50, yes, because 50 is the new 40.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I thought it was the new black. I was confused.
Oh, God. That's another thing that's getting overdone, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Yeah.
Exactly.
African-American is the new black. I wrote little things like, I believe that every bottle of tequila, Stephanie, should be sold with a camera attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have some idea of what happened the next day. I think that would be useful.
I think you could get elected on that idea. Mm-hmm.
I believe people should not be buying Equal, Splenda, or Sweet and Low at the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
That's what restaurants are for.
That's why stealing was invented. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And my advice for people, I hate this, when you order a bottle of wine at a restaurant, and the, you know, the clown stands there, the waiter, while you taste it, and I have no idea what to say. I think you should swirl the wine, sip it, take a pause, and then say, that should get me hammered. We'll go with that. Yeah, that should come back up real nice. Yes, indeed.
Now, we have something else in common.
What's that?
We rescue dogs. I just rescued a puppy, Oliver.
You're kidding.
Oliver's 13 weeks old. I rescued him from Gentle Giant.
Oh, how great.
And I rescued Max there a couple of years ago. And you have, but now you make me feel like a slacker because you have 7 rescue dogs.
Yes, my partner and I, we have 7 rescue dogs. We're
wow.
very into pro-adoption. Yes, people, adopt, don't shop. And aren't they just the best?
Oh, the greatest.
I mean, and people, you know, they don't realize out there, if you, any kind of pure, you know, pure breed dog you want,
You can rescue.
Yes, yes.
That's what I said during the whole Obama, you know, the White House puppy debate. I'm like, you can rescue anything.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, in fact, I'm doing a benefit for the Amanda Foundation.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Hang on. Mm-hmm. Thursday, June 18th.
Yes, yes.
You can call 310-550-0101 if you're out here in the L.A. area. Mm-hmm. And Carol Leifer is even more delightful in person.
Oh, you're sweet. Mm. But, you know, rescuing dogs is amazing. I mean, I love every animal, but I think in certain ways, don't you feel dogs are better than people?
Oh, God, yes. Yes.
I mean, you know, a dog can lick his privates and yet not feel the need to post it on YouTube. Don't you think that's a higher calling?
I think God put dogs on earth to teach people how to love.
Right.
Including that. Don't post your most private moments on YouTube. There you go. Now, you said partner. Which I love.
Right. My square dancing partner, yeah. Of course, I was speaking about as we do-si-do.
Because people know you dated Jerry Seinfeld. You were, you know, the character of Elaine was loosely based on you on Seinfeld. But you are so featured in the new Oprah magazine.
Yes. Oh, Maggie. Well, I was also on the Oprah Winfrey Show with my partner, Lori.
Partner?
Wow.
Lori?
Yeah.
As somebody that that fell in love with a woman at 40.
Here's the
first time you're with a woman.
In the whole world. I just was, at 40, I was dying to have a fling with a woman. I set out, like, this is going to be really hot and fun.
So was Jim. It didn't work out for him.
My wife disagreed.
And lo and behold, I met this woman and, you know, started this affair, fell in love. Here we are, 12, almost 13 years later.
The first woman you were ever with.
First woman I was ever with.
Good for you.
Humana, humana, what?
Good, you.
Humana?
I love some of the stuff in the O magazine. You talked about sex with a woman for the first time. Turns out it's a no-brainer because I am one. It was like having the answers before taking a test.
It's true. It's like walking around in the house you grew up in. You can turn all the lights off. I'll still know where everything is.
And yes. Then you talked about the adjustments. You said two menstrual cycles in one relationship. Getting a word in edgewise.
Getting a word in edgewise. I have to say, being with a woman, it's like being on The View 24 hours a day. You know what I mean? The nonstop yakking and talking, you know? It's two people that, you know, that's what I love. In relationships with men, if I ever sat down and said, look, we got to talk. You know, the guy, it's like they run for the hills.
Right.
You know, a woman, if you say, listen, we got to talk, it's like, hey, let's put on a pot of coffee and go all night. Yippee. Wowie kazowie. I love this.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, but it's been fantastic. We have a great relationship, and I've never been happier.
Good for you. And you adopted a son.
We did.
3 years ago, you said.
Yes, aww. Yes. We adopted him, little Bruno.
Aw.
Yeah, Bruno has two mommies.
Yeah. Indeed he does.
Yeah, his Oedipus complex is now a threesome. But he also, you know, we're two Jewish mommies. So if our kid is ever hungry, it'll be a freaking miracle.
How are you feeling about this whole, you know, the gay marriage across the country? I mean, that's got to be heartening, you know, that we're not even talking about the coasts now. We're talking about Iowa. And, I mean, I really feel like this is the tide has turned, don't you?
It is turning. And, I mean, Iowa was amazing. I mean, I think that's great that the three people who are gay in Iowa can now get married. You know? Now, you know, I feel really badly that, like, last October was one of the funnest months that we ever had. We had so many gay weddings to go to. It was so incredible.
Right.
And then the next month, you know, Prop 8 passes, and it was so depressing and deflating. I mean, Lori and I, we're holdouts. We feel like we want to get married when it's on a federal level, you know? Because people don't even realize it's not even equal to the standard, you know, of that level. But it has to change. I mean, the good thing I think about gay marriage is the younger generation, it's so a no-brainer to them.
Right.
And I feel like the dinosaurs they're dying out, you know, and time is on our side. But
well, you know, and to quote one of our other friends, Elaine Boozler, she always said, gay people must be allowed to get married so they will stop marrying Liza Minnelli. And so just that alone.
That has to stop. Yes, at this point. Yeah.
But, you know, I think that Prop 8, you're right, is disappointing. I do think that that's going to come around, don't you? I mean, I think it's probably going to go back to a vote, and I'm optimistic at least.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it has to change. I mean, I'm also very involved with pro-choice and very into that. And in that regard, I'm concerned because I don't see enough young women out there. I mean, I go to the marches, and it's right. like me and the old broads, you know, like
right.
I want to see more younger people. But I do think with gay marriage, it really is different. And it's a whole new generation coming up that have been raised differently.
Yeah.
And
you're one of those people that the right wing is afraid of. You're the one having all the gay abortions.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You see, you're summed up yeah. in one little human ball, Carol Leifer. We
but
see
you. Know, but the thing, honestly, of why I wrote my book also, too, is like the best parts of my life have happened since I turned 40. I mean, I met the love of my life. Didn't know it was going to be a woman, but that happened.
Right.
Adopted a baby. Got bat mitzvahed at 45. Also became a vegan, which was another
great thing.
Oh, my God.
We're going to have to talk about vegan next time. Saturday, July 11th, if you're here in L.A., she'll be performing at the L.A. Gay and Lesbian Center's Renberg Theater. Call 323-860-7300 for tickets to that, Carol Leifer.
Yes, come on down. Free book. Also, autographed book with both of those shows.
Woohoo! A pleasure.
Included in your admission.
See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.